Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Chet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Chaim Seton and his wife Marilyn in honor of Mr. Jimmy and Yvette Hannon, two members of our Daf Yomi program. May they both enjoy continued success and beracha and all their endeavors. Amen. Amen. Today's daf is being studied with Fu'ash Shelemar, Ben Yitzhak Kaduri, Ben Tofeha, En Narefana Lo, Betok She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied with Le'ilun Nishmat Hakam Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Abraham Ben Esteru, Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Daf Zayin, and we are going to begin on the bottom of the daf, the last line. Tanu Rabbanan, en bodkin lo le'or ha'chama ve'lo le'or ha'lebana ve'lo le'or ha'avuka e'la le'or ha'ner. So the Beraita says that when one making bedikat hametz, one is not allowed to check by the light of the sun, nor the light of the moon, nor the light of a torch. E'la le'or ha'ner. Can only use the light of a ner, like a candle or a flame. Mepene she'or ha'ner yafeh lebedika. And the reason is because the light of a ner is the best for the checking. Even better than a torch, which seemingly would give more light, still they're telling you a single flame is better. V'afalpi she'en ra'ya ladavar. And even though there's no explicit proof for this, zecher ladavar, we have a zecher, we have a hint to this concept. Shene'emar, and this is a derasha that we said on yesterday's daf. Shiva'at yamim se'or lo yemaseh bebatechem. Torah uses the word 7 days se'or hametz lo yemaseh, should not be found in your homes. Ve'omer, and it says, by Yosef, when he was searching the brothers, Vayhapes b'gadol echel, says that he searched by the gadol, and then he went into the satchel of Binyamin. It says v'yimatze. So he has the word hipus and mitziah by Binyamin. Ve'omer ba'etai ahapes et Yerushalayim b'nerot. And we see the word hipus, the search, is written in the pasuk that talks about searching with Nerot ve'omer, and it says Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam Chofes Kol Hadrei Batin. And from Nerot we learn a pasuk that says Ner, and it says that what Chofes Kol Hadrei Batin, it is indeed good for searching. So that's a remez how we know that a Ner is indeed good for bedikat hametz. So the Gemara now asks, Hai Ora Chama Echidameh. When you said that you cannot use sunlight for bidikat hametz, what's the case? If we're talking about anyone's courtyard, which means the chidush of the braita is that when one is checking his courtyard, he's not allowed to do it by the sunlight outside. So you say, why not? It says, ha amar rava chatzer ena tzericha bidika mepene sha'orvim mitsuyim sham. You don't even need to make bidikat hametz in one's courtyard, because normally there's ravens in the courtyard, and the ravens eat any of the hametz that's there. So therefore, that cannot be the case of sunlight not being good, because you don't even have to make bidikah by a chatzef. Now it should be pointed out that the Beit Yosef says that you cannot really rely on this fact that ravens are going to eat hametz. You know, that itself is a safek, if they're going to eat the hametz or not, and if you're going to have the ravens. So the Beit Yosef says that this din of chatzer was only said by a case of safek hametz. You have safek hametz, then already you can rely on the orvim. However, v'daya chametz, you will not be able to rely on that. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Ela be'achsadra. Must be talking about the achsadra. Achsadra would be like the like a porch area that it's in front of the house. And they're telling you that that porch is like a little enclosed area. They tell you that that you cannot check by the light of the sun. So the Gemara says, Ha amarava achsadra le'ora nibdeket. We have a clear statement that says, on the contrary, achsadra can be checked for hametz by its light. What is its light? The sunlight. So Gemara says, Lo tzericha le'aruba debahedir. Okay, so the Hadush is, we're talking about it's inside, we're talking about by the skylight, which means a person has a skylight in his house, and the Hadush of the Braita is you cannot check the Hametz by the light of the sun that goes through the skylight. So the Gemara says, Udhecha, where, which part of the house can't I check? If you tell me that I cannot check directly under the Aruba, where the sun is penetrating right underneath, I know achsadra. That's the same thing as an achsadra. Which means, what's an achsadra? There's a porch, the sun is directly overhead, and I can check with it. So therefore, in a skylight, the same thing should be right under the skylight. It should be permissible to check with the sun. Ela litzdadin. So must be talking about, you have a skylight, you cannot check on the sides of the aruba. So that's what it says in the Braita, that you cannot check l'ora hama. It's not b'chatzeh because you have orvin. It's not b'achsadah because it's permissible. It's not b'arubah, ta'at arubah directly because that's like an achsadah. Ela, it's ta'at arubah, litztadin, to the sides. Comes the Gemara now and discusses the next part of the Braita. V'abuka, lo. You told me that you cannot use a torch for bedikat hametz. Is that so? V'amar rava. Didn't we learn from Rava's statement? My dichtiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk? Where is this Pasuk? This Pasuk is in Habakkuk. Venoga ka'or tiye karnayim miyado lo v'sham hebyon uzo. Venoga and its light, or its radiance, ka'or tiye, is going to be like a light. Karnayim miyado. It's going to be like karnayim is rays that are coming from his hand. Vesham chibyon ozo. And there you will see his hidden strength. What is this talking about? So Rashi says, Venoga shel atid la tzaddikim. The light of the tzaddikim la atid abo when Mashiach comes. It's going to be so bright for these tzaddikim like the light of the 7 days of creation. Karnayim melashon ki karan or panav. Like their faces are going to like to radiate. Vezeurin miyad kadosh baruch hu lo la tzaddik. Which means the radiance of the tzaddik is going to emanate from hakadosh baruch hu. Meziv shel hakadosh baruch hu yilchu zeurim neaklin penei tzaddikim. God is going to shed his light to radiate the tzaddikim. Velo ye oram shaveh le'oro. Of course, their light is not going to be equal to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela Rashi says, kener b'fnei ha'avuka. The light of the tzaddikim, which is going to be tremendous, is going to be like a ner to an avuka. Avuka has more light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be like the avuka. It's going to radiate on the tzaddikim la'atid lavo. In any event, it says, what are the tzaddikim compared to in front of the Shekhinah? Kener b'fnei avuka. So what do you seek but from this statement? That avuka gives off much more light than an air. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu radiates much more than the tzaddikim. He's considered like an avuka in front of the tzaddik, which is an air. Secondly, b'amar rava, avuka lehavdala mitzvah min ha-mubhar. That for havdala, where you need to use ish, Rava says, using a torch is a preferable mitzvah. Why would it be preferable? Because the Gemara Berachot says, according to Beit Hillel, the Berachah is Boreh Me'oreh Ha'esh. We say Me'oreh in plural, and that she says over there, because the or has different colors. There's a blue, there's an orange, there's a red. And therefore, when you have a torch, you see the different colors of the fire much clearer. But what do you see again? That a torch is a much sharper and a much better light. So why shouldn't you be able to use an avukah? So comes the Gemara and says, and its answer, few answers. The Gemara is going to give four answers why avukah is not usable. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, זה יכול להכניסו לחורים ולסתכין. וזה אינו יכול להכניסו לחורים ולסתכין. First answer. You can't bring the torch into the corners, to the nooks and crannies of the house. You can only do it with a net which is small, you can get in there. But a torch is too big. So therefore that's one reason. You can't, might have better light. But accessibility you don't have because you can't get into the corners. That's the crevices of the house. Second answer, why it's no good. Razvid Amar, ze oro lefanav, ve ze oro leaharav. Which literally means, ze, the ner, its light is useful in front. However, the light of a torch is useful only from behind. What does that mean? So the simple explanation is that when you have a torch, so the torch gives such a strong light that you don't use it in front. You use it behind. And therefore, a ner, however, when you use the ner, since the flame is not so strong, you're able to look in front. It's almost like a blinding light, let's say, a torch. So therefore, you can't use a torch. It's fact that it's so light makes it worse, because you cannot use in front of it, because you can't look at it. It's too strong, and you're not going to be able to, it's a blinding. So therefore, that's another reason why it cannot be used. The Papa Amar, Hai Ba'it, Ve'ai Lo Ba'it. Another explanation. When it comes to a torch, you're scared to use it. Why? Because you don't want to burn the house down. And therefore, you're not going to make a good bidikah. And then, you're not scared. You'll make a good bidikah. Ravina Amar, Hai Mashach Neora, V'ay mikhtaf akhtufe. A ner is a steady light, where a avukah is mikhtaf akhtufe, it flickers. And therefore, not going to get a good bidika out of it. In any event, there's an interesting tour over here, that he says, based on the answer that says, you're not allowed to use a torch because of the pahad, because you're scared. You're scared to burn the house down. So the Tur writes, Nahagu b'Ashkenaz, Shelo libdok b'ner shel chelev. You cannot use a ner that is made out of fat. Why? Because chelev is asur. And when you're going to go around checking, what are you scared of? You're going to be scared that some of the chelev is going to drip on the kelim. And if it drips on the kelim, it's going to make them asur. So that's also, you're not scared you're going to burn the house down, but you're scared to check because you don't want the candle to drip. Or for that matter, he says, ner shel shuman, of also like a fat a candle made out of that. What's going to be the problem with that? You're worried that it's going to drip on the begadim. It's going to ruin your garments. So therefore, it's not only a fear of burning, but it's also a fear of, you know, you're going to ruin kelim or begadim. Should be pointed out that the Magen Abraham does write that an avukah, if one used it for the bidikat hametz, would be asur, even bidi'avad, and he would have to go recheck the house. However, when it comes to, let's say, these nerot that the Tur mentioned, bidi'avad, it would be kasher, but lechetachila, one should not use them. Comes the Gemara and continues. Kol makom she'em makhnisim bo hametz. So that was a quote from the Mishnah, which said, any place that they do not bring hametz in, en sarich bedika, does not need bedika. So the Gemara says, kol makom, any place, le'atuye mai. What is it coming to include? The Gemara says, le'atuye ha'detanu rabbanan. It's coming to include what we learned in the Braita. Hure bayit ha'alyonim ve'atachtonim, וגג היציע, וגג המגדל, ורפת בקר, ולולין ומתבן ואוצרות יין ואוצרות שמן אין צריכין בדיקה. All these areas do not need בדיקה. Let's go one at a time. חורי בית העליונים. The olden days they used to have, let's say, holes that were in the wall, and they used to store things in these holes. So if they're very high, you don't need bedika, because you don't access them. It's considered a place, or let's say they're very low. You also don't use them, they're too low. So they also know how to check. Begaga yatsiya, that's like a roofed area that is sloped. Since the roof area is sloped, you don't have to check it, because whatever you put on it, it's going to fall off anyway. It's not a flat roof. It's gaga yatsiya. Rashi says on yatsiya, fapishu namoch, even though it is low, which means it's usable, ve'ho'ilu meshupah, en tzarik levdok, v'ashar gagin shelehen no ayu meshupahin. But the other roofs, they were flat. Therefore, of course you have to check them, because they would store things on top of them. The gaga migdal is, let's say, a roof that is in the shape of a migdal, like a tower. And as she says, shel etz, it's a wooden item, shenotim letocho kelim, veochlim tocho tzarich bedika velo gago. I mean, the inside of it needs bedika, but not the top. Why not? So there's different interpretations why it wouldn't need. The simple explanation is because it's high. Since it's high, as the Me'idi says, so therefore it's hard to access it, therefore you do not need bedika. In any event, the next case is v'refet bakar, that would be like the barn where you put the cattle, v'lulin, that's the coop where you put the chickens, umatben, that's like the storehouse for straw, v'otzrot yayin, you have the wine cellars where they store the wine, v'otzrot shemen, and the places where they store the oil. All these places, and tzrichin b'dikah. רבן שמעון מגמליאל אומר, מיטה החולקת בתוך הבית. You have a bed that separates within the house, separates two rooms. For example, you take the bed, you lift it up, so it becomes like a partition now. It's separating between two areas in the house, like between two rooms. So the Gemara says, ומצקת צריכה בדיקה. It needs בדיקה. What are we talking? That she says, החולקת, מעמידים אותה במקום מחיצה. They would lift it up instead of a מחיצה, לחלק, in order to divide, תשמישי הבית. ועוד מלתן הקט. ומפסקת, יש הפסק בין שוליה לקרקע. מפסקת means, it has legs. Alright? The legs lift the, let's say the bed, off the ground a little. So there's space between the bottom of the bed and the ground and the floor. That's mafseket, which means the legs of the bed elevated. So now the chidush is, according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, tzricha bedika. Under that bed, you have to check. Could be they stored things underneath. Why not? It's airspace, so you're going to have to check for hametz under that area. So comes the Gemara and says, urminu. So basically, that's what the Mishnah is talking. Kol makom shemak nishim bo hametz, en tzrichin, en tzrich bedika. It's coming to include all these cases. So, Kazi Gavanat Zuzul Minhu, we have a contradiction. Chor Sheben Adam Lachavero. You have, let's say, two neighbors live next to each other, they have a common wall. So now there's a hole in between. So now we're going to discuss the obligation of checking in that hole. On who is it? Who is obligated to check? Which one of the two friends? So, Zebo Dek Ad Makom Shiado Magahat. Zebo Dek Ad Makom Shiado Magahat. So each guy checks as far as his hand can go. They stick their hand in as deep as they can in the wall, and they make bedikat chametz. The other guy, the neighbor, also sticks his hand in as far as v'ashar, and whatever is remaining, mebatelo, melibo, and you make bitul. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, mita choleket betoch habayit. You have, let's say, the bed that's separating the rooms in the house. V'aitzim v'abarim sedurim tachtea. In this case, you actually have storage there already. You're putting, let's say, itzim, wood, you're putting rocks and stuff underneath. Umafseket. And there's a hefsek between the legs of the bed and the ground. Same case as before, meaning it's elevated off the ground. Ena tzedicha bedika. Oh, here, it says that what? You don't have to make bedika. So the Gemara says, kasha mita amita. You have a kasha from what? The case of the bed to the bed. The first time it said, what a bunch of, it says, you have to check under the bed. Here it says, you don't. Kasha achorin, achorin. And we have a kasha from the holes to the holes. Because above we've made a difference. We said, if they're high, you don't have to check. If they're low, you don't have to check. Here we're saying, we're not making a hanuk. We're just saying holes in the walls. You check, achia domagat. We're not making a hanuk how high or low they are. So Gemara says, achorin, achorin, nakasha. There's no question. Simple answer. The holes that you don't have to check are when they're very high and they're very low. Here we're talking about where you have to check is mitzchayeh, when they're in the middle, where they're easily accessed. Mitah, mitah, lakasha. I'll tell you also. Mitah, mitah, the bed to the bed is no question. Ha, dimidliya, ha, dimitata'eh. What's the answer? Does she? It's elevated very high. Let's say the legs are very long, and therefore it lifts the bed up high, so therefore you have a nice area underneath. It's easy to use, and therefore you have to check it. However, when it's where it's very low airspace underneath, so no one's using that. It's not so comfortable to use it, so therefore as she says, afapishis ksat avir, it's not so really easy to be used. Now, the question that the Rabbeinu David asks over here, in the case of the wall, or the hole in the wall. So it says, Zebu tek achimakom shiadomagat. Now you just have to check until where your hand accesses. So he asks, how come you don't have to go further? Go and go even deeper into the wall, which means you're telling me you have to make bitul. Now, once you're telling me you have to make bitul, you only have to make bitul in areas where it's normal that there's going to be hametz. So obviously, you're not considering that spot that's deep into the wall, makom she'em maknesim bo hametz. Because if there was a makom she'em maknesim bo hametz, you wouldn't even have to make bitul. So therefore, why don't they make necessitate the guy to actually go in there and check even after Yadomagat? Which means, obviously, what happened? Obviously, some hametz rolled into that spot. So therefore, the Kavra, let him go check it. So he says, it has a status of kikar bebor. Has a status of a kikar, a piece of bread that's in a bor, that the hakamim did not necessitate you to go down in the bor and bring it out. Because since it's very, very improbable that you're going to get to that hametz on the holiday and you're going to come to eat it or you're going to come to take it, so the rabbis relied on bitul. Since it's far in there, there's no hashash that we necessitated bidika. Comes again, what on says on the fourth wide line, the otzrot yayin en sarik bidika. You just told me that what the wine cellar doesn't need bidika. What do you mean? That Tanya, we learned in the Braita. Otzrot yayin, tzarich bidika. And for that matter, otzrot shemen, and tzarich bidika. And you told me that the oil doesn't need. Okay, the oil, we understand, we said already. But you have a question on the wine. The Gemara says, hachem v'askinam b'mistapek. We're talking about a specific case where the wine cellar, a person uses it in the middle of the meal. Refill. Which means he sends his shamosh down to the cellar in order to bring a refill of wine. What are you concerned about? The shamosh might have some bread in his hand. He's also eating the seudah. And as he goes to bring another vat up, he's going to leave his bread in the wine cellar. And therefore, it's a place to maknisim bo hametz. So that in that type of wine cellar where it's mistapek, where you're using it during the meal, of course you need to make bedika. So the Gemara says, Yacheh, shemen nameh. So if the case of the Braita is mistapek, so shemen also. If you're being mistapek from your oil cellar, so you should also have to make bedika. So the Gemara says, shemen yesh kev al achila, yayin en kev al ishtiya. Which means when you go into a meal, you know how much oil you need from the beginning. Yeah, there's a keva, there's a certain set amount, how much oil you're going to need for a se'udah. So therefore, you don't usually go down during the meal to get a refill of oil. However, yayin and keva. Some meals you can drink less, some meals you can drink more. So therefore, it's quite possible in the middle of the Seudah, I'm going to want some more to drink, so you're going to send the Shamosh down. So therefore, the Osot Yayin would need Bedika in a case where you are Mr. Pek. Tane Rabbi Hiya. Asu Otsrot Shechar Bevavel Ke Otsrot Yayin Be'erit Yisrael Be Mr. Pek. In Bavel, they didn't drink wine, but they would drink more beer. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they gave the Otsrot Shechar, they gave it a status of Otsrot Yayin, in a case where it be Mr. Pick. Now, obviously, if we're talking about Shechar, in itself, if it's Hametz, right, if it is a type of Hametz, beer, can be made out of dates, can be made out of other things. So if it's Hametz, of course you have to throw out the Hametz itself. We're discussing checking the actual Otsar, not discussing the barrels themselves. Why? Because since it's Mr. Fek, the Shemosh goes down. Yeah, it's the same thing. Amar of Chazda. Bedagim, the fish closet. En tzarich bedika. Don't have to check the fish closet. It's a makom she'em machnisim mohametz. What do you mean? What do you mean? You have to check the fish closet. Depends. The fish closet that they store the big fish, you don't have to check. Because again, yesh keva. You know, when it comes to the big fish, there's a certain amount you take for the seudah, then you don't go back. But on the small fish, ain't keva for the small fish. Yeah, small fish can eat a lot of them. So therefore, it's very possible. When the seudah, you tell the seudah, I go get us some more of those sardines or whatever those type of small fish that people eat. You know, you can eat a lot of them. So therefore, you would need to make bedika. Amar Abba Baravuna, bimilhe, the salt closet, ubekire, that's the wax closet, tzarich bedika. Obviously, because in the middle of the Seudah, Shemosh is always getting more salt and more wax, meaning for the candles, because they used to eat by the, you know, the candlelight. Amar Papa, betzi be, that's the wood closet. Ube tamre, that's the, where the dates are. Sarich bedika. You also need bedika on these items also. Again, because it's common to go into them. Tana, we have a braita. En mechayibin oto lachnish yado lechorin velestakin lebdok mepene asakana. Oh, so the braita says over here, we don't obligate a person to stick his hand all the way into the holes of the walls and to the crevices and check, because it's dangerous. So the Gemara says, dangerous? My sakana, what are we talking about? What kind of sakana is this? Ine mamepne sakanat akrav. Maybe you stick your hand in the walls, there's scorpions. So stick his hand, he's going to get bit by a scorpion. So the Gemara says, hold it. Kim ishtamesh, hechi ishtamesh. So how do you use it in the first place? Well, obviously we're making him check it, it's because he puts hametz there. So if he puts hametz there, just the way he put his hand in it to put the hametz, and then he can put his hand in there to check it. So the Gemara says, you know what we're talking about? Lo tzericha denafal. We're talking about we had a wall, we put hametz in there. Then all of a sudden the wall fell. So now you have the hametz underneath all the rubble. So we're telling you, when you have the hametz underneath the rubble, you don't have to stick your hands in there to check for the hametz. Why? Because there's scorpions. Gemara says, hold it. Inafal, if I don't know where it fell, lamali bedika. What do I have to make bedika at all? That inan, hametz, enough, the Arab mapolet. You have hametz, that the mapolet fell, the rubble fell on the hametz. Harehu kimbu'ar. It is considered like it is burnt. It's considered as it's destroyed. So you don't have to check it at all. Gemara says, that's a big difference. Hatam, she'en akerev yachol lachapes acharav. That's only talking about when you don't have to check when the rubble falls on it. If it's deep inside, which means it's deeper than three tefachim, where the dog cannot access it. However, here we're talking about what? That it's on top, meaning the dog can actually dig it up. And really, you would be obligated to make a bidika. The only reason why you don't have to in this case is because of sakana. What's the sakana? Sakanat akrav. Which means again, if it was deep, we tell you, you don't have to check at all. Because it's considered kimbu'ar. Here, it's not so deep. So make medika. You can't because of the issue of sakana. Now, the Tosfot does point out that it sounds like this Gemara, that if the caliph were not for the Sekana problem, if the caliph was able to dig it up, so of course you would need to make bi'ud. Now, well, the question is, over here he says, why would you need to make bi'ud in a case where, let's say, the dog is able to access it? So he says, since the hametz is yadua over there, once the hametz is yadua over there, so therefore you have no option but to check to take it. Sure. Now, how would you take it? You'd hire a guy, maybe, and let him take a stick or some type of poker and get in there and draw it out. So therefore, if it was definite hametz in there, that's what the sports says you have to do. Since the hador can get it, you have sakana. Okay, have sakana. Don't go in there with your hands, but hire a guy and go in there. Here we're talking about those forces hametz she'enu yadua. You don't know for sure hametz, so therefore we're not going to even obligate you to hire a guy to go do it. So that's a big hadush. See, if there's hametz vaday in there, you're right. We don't want you to get killed with the akrav, but hire somebody to go in there and get rid of the hametz with utensils, with equipment. But if it's a case over here with hametz that you're not sure is there, then already we'll be lenient and say, Hareu Kimbo'ah. Comes the Gemara and continues. Veha Amar Rabbi El-Azhar. Now the Gemara goes into a sugya here. Rabbi El-Azhar says, what do you mean? Shuluchem etzva enam nezukin. What are you talking about? Guys make it bedikat hametz. So what are you telling me, sekanat akrav? We have a principle that says, when a person's on a mission to do a mitzvah, he does not get damaged. So therefore, I don't care about an akrav. Borei Olam will protect the person during the time he's doing the mitzvah. So therefore, sekanat akrav should not exempt the person from the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asher, Shem tovad lo mahat, ve'ate li'yune batra. We're worried that maybe before the bidika, the guy already lost a mahat, a personal, let's say, a pin or a needle in that area. So now there's a needle he has in there. So what are we worried about? We're worried that during the bidika, he's checking for the bread. But what happens? Maybe for a minute, he's going to take his mind off the bread. And then he's like, oh, you know what? I got the needle in there. Also, I got to check. I know I lost it in there. And now at that moment, he's not considered a shaliach mitzvah. And bingo, what's going to happen? The scorpion's going to come out and bite him. So therefore, that's the case. Now, that she's very interesting here. That she says, when did he lose the needle? Two lines from the bottom. Kodem lachin. Right? He lost the needle before the bidika. So the Pnei Yeshua says, why does she have to say he lost it before the bidika? You can even say it as he's making the bidika. His needle fell into the hole. So he says, no. Because shinuchay mitzvah enam nezukim afilu b'mamonam. He says, when a person's doing a mitzvah, he doesn't lose even his money. So therefore, he couldn't have lost it during the bidika itself. So therefore, she says, he must have lost it kodem bidika. In any event, the Gemara says, v'chi agavna la mitzvah? What, this is not a mitzvah? Which means you're telling me a guy's making bidika. During the bidika, he's also looking for his mahat. So you say, what? He's not a shaliach mitzvah anymore. Why? That should not take him out of the status of shaliach mitzvah. That tanya, because we learned. Ha'omer, a guy says, Sel azu nistaka b'shvil shi'yeh b'ni. Guy comes along and says, I'm giving this selah to tzedakah in order that my son should live. Which means his son, let's say, is sick. So guy, while he's giving tzedakah, he's making a condition. I'm giving the tzedakah over here with the condition or the stipulation or the want that my son should live in the zikhut. Oh, I'm giving the tzedakah in order that what? I should merit olam abba. The Gemara says, Hareze Sadiq Gamur. Gemara says he's a righteous, perfect righteous man. Why? That she says, Bedavarze. Velo amdina chelo lishma ose. We don't say he's considered chelo lishma. Ela kiyem mitzvat por osh shvau la'asot tzedakah. Umitkaven af lehana'at atzmo. Which is, even though there's a a mixture of some, you know, some personal benefit over here when you're doing the mitzvah. Tzaddik gamur. So the same thing over here. I'm making bedikat hametz. At the time that I'm making bedikat hametz, I'm also looking for my needle. Tzaddik gamur. That shouldn't take you out of the status of a shaliyah mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, this is what we're worried about. Dilma batar de badak atil ayune batra. Yeah, we're worried that you're not, as you're checking, you're right. When you're checking for the hametz and you're looking for your needle simultaneously, you're a shaliyah mitzvah. We're worried you're going to finish your bedika. And after you finish your bedika, now you say, you know what, now I'm in there already. Let me go check my needle. Then already he's going to have a sakana. She's at the time of the bedika, if you're simultaneously looking for your needle as well, not worried about it. Shaliyah mitzvah and nizukin. But what's the concern? You finished your bedika, and you're in there already. You know what, let me go now check for the ma'at. Oh, now already the akhlab's going to come out. So therefore we say, you know what, don't get involved in this bidika at all. Now regarding this gemara of a person giving the tzedakah in this case, and he's saying, in order that my son should live, and is it tzaddik gamur? Tosfot asks a question from Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Mishnah says, "Al tiyu ka'avadim u'mshamashim et harav, amarat lekabel peras." What do you mean? You're not supposed to serve God for the reward. This guy over here seemingly saying, "I'm doing the mitzvah specifically what." So how can the Gemara call him a tzaddik gamur? So Tosfot gives a very important answer over here. He says that when are we talking about a tzaddik gamur, where the guy's son died, which means he didn't make it, and the hidush of the guy who gave the charity, he doesn't regret. That's already tzaddik gamur, which means yeah, he put a condition over there, but it didn't happen, and the guy says, you know what, the tzedakah that I gave, leave it. So therefore, that's considered a tzaddik gamur. Why? Because bottom line, he does not toher. He does not regret on the mitzvah that he did. The lashon of the Tosafot is, b'chi agavna, she'im lo tavo lo ota tova shu metzapeh, toher o mitcharet la tzedakah she'asa. Aval mi she'en oto mitcharet, hare ze tzaddik gamur. So according to Tosafot, the guy goes and puts a tzedakah at a Chinese auction in order to win a prize. Says, I'm putting the tzedakah over because I want to win. So therefore, the Gemara says, that it's a tzaddik gamur. In which case, well, he doesn't win. But he says, you know what? Good, tzedakah anyway. But if a guy is toher and regrets, then of course, he uproots the entire mitzvah. Now, Rabbeinu Hanan El over here has a different girsa. Rabbeinu Hanan El's girsa is very significant. He says, it's not that is a tzaddik gamur. He says, not a tzaddik gamur. Meaning, it's, you fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's considered tzedakah. Tzaddik gamur, you're not. Because you're doing it, because you put a stipulation over there. Now, the Rabbeinu, the Ran, he has a little different answer. He says that, yes, you're a tzaddik gamur. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that says, Al tiyu ka'avadim shemeshim mitarav, that's already a hasid. That's an even higher level. So there's different madrigo. You're not on the highest level, this guy. Tzaddik gamur is a guy better than him. That's a guy that's not even attaching any conditions at all. In any event, the Gemara continues. Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar mishum sakanat hanukhrim. New case. He says, not sakana taklav. We're talking about a regular hole, and the hole's in the wall, and you're sharing your wall with a goy. There's a goy on the other side. What's the sakana of a goy just because you're sticking your hand in there making the bidika? Uflimoi, and it's found the opinion of flimo. Detanya, we have a braita. Chor sheben Yehudi le'arma'eh. You have a hole between the Jew and the goy. Bodek ad makom shiyado magat. So you go as far as you can. You check as far as your hand can reach. Hashe'an mebatelo belibo. That's tarakama. And then, you know, make bitul. Just like we said, we have a hole between two Jews. Same thing applies to a goy. You go as far as you can go, then make bitul on the rest. Flimo amar kol atzmo eno bodek mepenei sakana. You don't have to check the hole at all. Why? Because of
Sakana. So Gemara says, my sakana. What sakana is this over here? Inema sakanat keshafim. If you're worried about what? The sakana of keshafim, which means like black magic, which means you're worried about over here, the goy might think you're doing some sort of black magic over here. You're going into the hole, you're doing stuff. So, you know, he might come and who knows what he'll do to you. So he says, ki ishtamish, he ishtamish. Wait, did you use it? Obviously, there's no sakanat keshafim over here because you did use it, so he wasn't worried about that, the goy. No, hatam ki ishtamish yemama v'nehora v'lo masik adate. When are you using the hole? In the day, when it's light outside, that therefore the guy doesn't think of anything. He doesn't think of any problem. However, hacha, when you make a bidikah, lilya, it's night, v'shargahu. He's walking around with a candle, putting a candle in the hole. Oh, masika d'arteh. So the guy says, what's this guy doing over here? This guy's doing some type of, mystical black magic on me. He thinks the guy is some type of ritual. So therefore, he's going to come and kill him. So therefore, it's considered sakana. So comes the mefarshim and say, good. That only exempts you from making bidikat hametz at night with a candle. So why would you have to make bidikat hametz? Do it in the day. It's not exempting you from the bidikah. In totality, just tell you to do it a net at night, you got a problem because the guy doesn't know what you're doing. But in the day, do it, without a net. In any event, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Sakanat kishafim? What are you worried about the goy? Well, the goy's going to come now and suspect that you're doing some type of black magic on him? What are you worried about this? Didn't we just say, V'amar Rabbi al-Azaz shiduhamiz va'in zukin? I thought you're protected from all type of nizik. So therefore, so what? The other guy will think you're doing black magic on him. He's going to come kill you. You can't die. You're doing a mitzvah. Now, hecha, it cannot bring to a damage. Hecha d'shkiyah hezeka shane. Oh, new rule. That where it's prevalent, the danger, so then the law of shiluchai mitzvah does not work. Which means you can't just say, oh, I'm on the way to a mitzvah and never go put yourself in prevalent danger. It's a mitzvah, protect me. No. It don't seem like this. We're talking about where it's normal behavior and the mitzvah will protect you. But to go now stick your hand in the wall of the goy with a candle, that's considered putting yourself in prevalent danger. The mitzvah does not protect you. How do we know this? Shne'emad v'yomer Shemuel. Shemuel tells God, Ech elech v'shamach Shaul v'haragani. How can I go if Shaul hears he's going to kill me? God told Shemuel and Navi to go appoint David to be the Melech of Israel. And that's a commandment of God. Shemuel becomes a Shaliach Mitzvah. And still, what does he tell God? How can I go? If Shaul hears that I'm going to go appoint David, he's going to kill me. What are you talking about? God just made you, nominated you a Shaliach Mitzvah. What are you balking? And the explanation is what? This is considered Shkiyah Hezekah. There's prevalent danger. Therefore, Shemuel had a right to balk because he knew that what? It's dangerous. So Hashem tells him, Vayomer Hashem, Eglat Pakah Tikach Biyadecha. So God said, okay, fine. Take a Korban, take this, nothing's being matter. Because God did not rebuke Shemuel. And said, what do you mean? I told you to go to this mitzvah. Now you're hesitating. And God said, you're right. I made you Shaliach Mitzvah, but this is dangerous. So therefore God told them to do it in a way where it's not going to be so dangerous. So therefore you see Shaliach Mitzvah in case of Shiduchai Mitzvah does not apply. Ba'u mine mirav. There's the question from Rav. Hani bene berav. These young yeshiva students. The Daire Bebaga. They live in the valleys. Mau lemete kadma bahashucha leberav. Can they come to the yeshiva early in the morning when it's dark outside, still before Alot HaShachat, bahashucha, and at night when it is dark? Meaning it's dangerous. They're coming to the yeshiva, it's dangerous to travel at night. So the Gemara says, so he answered, Rav answered, Nitu, let them come to the yeshiva, alai va'al savari. Let them come, it's on me, it's on my neck. Which means he says, I take full responsibility. I guarantee nothing will happen. Why? Shiluchai mitzvah. They're going to the yeshiva. They're going to study Torah. Nothing's going to happen to them. So the Gemara says, why? Nizil mai. What about going home? After they finish the yeshiva, they studied. Now they want to go back home to their ushpizah, to their host, where they're sleeping. Are they protected as well? Amar lehu lo yadana. He says, this, I don't know. I can't answer you. He put it on his neck to go to the yeshiva. Now I ask you, could they come home from the yeshiva? That's a different question. Going to the yeshiva, you're a shaliach mitzvah. Coming home from the yeshiva, you're going to sleep. So he says, there's protection over there. I can't answer you going home. Itmar amar ibn azar. Shiduchai mitzvah enam nizukin. Lo ba'alichatan, velo ba'aziratan. He says, shaliach mitzvah, he's protected not only on the way to do the mitzvah, but even on the way back. So therefore the yeshiva guys are coming back from the mitzvah. They're protected. Keman, ki aitana. The Tanya, we have a braita. Isi ben Yehuda omer, klape shamla Torah. The Torah says, velo yahmod ishit arzecha. Which means when the Jewish people used to go up to the regel, three times a year, they used to go up to the holidays, so the borders of Israel were vulnerable. Because all the soldiers, all the people, the residents, were not on the border. They were in Jerusalem. So it's very, very possible that what? The enemies would attack. So the Torah tells them, velo yahmod ish et arzecha. That nobody is going to covet your land. Now from the fact that it says, velo yahmod ish et arzecha, from the word et, the Gemara learns not only your land, but anything that's on your land, meaning your animals and all your property also, is not going to be destroyed. How? Melamed, shiteh paratcha ro'a ba'afar, your cow is going to be grazing in the pastures, ve'en hayam mazikata. And there's a guarantee, no wild animal is going to kill your cow on the holiday. Tannigelotcha minakeret ba'ashpa, your chickens are going to be pecking for food in the garbage dumps, ve'en hulda mazikata. And it's not going to get eaten by a weasel. Which means all your property is going to be protected when you're going to do the mitzvah aliyah l'regel. V'halo devarim kal v'chomer. All the more, so what? Uma elu shedarkan lizok. It's normal for these things to get damaged. Enam nizukin. And still what? They're not going to get damaged when you're going to do the mitzvah. Bnei adam she'en darkan lizok al achat kama v'kama. Human beings, which Rashi says have what's called mazal. What does mazal mean? So some explain me, Rashi says in Baba Kama, they have a guardian angel. Human beings have an angel that protects them. So to damage a human being, much harder. And still what? All the more so. Which is, if animals that don't have these guardian angels are protected, meaning your assets are protected when you're going to do a mitzvah, then nothing's going to happen to them. And those things are prone to get damaged. Kal vachomer, a human being that's less prone to get damaged, because it be mazal, although most of the mitzvah is going to protect them. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, wait, eni ela ba'alicha. That only teaches me what? When I'm going for the shalosh regalim, I'm going for the holiday. That's on the way there. Bahazara minayin. How do I know that this protection stands even when I'm coming home? Tamud lomar, ufanita baboker, vahalakta le'ohalecha. After the holiday is over, you'll turn back and come back to your ohel. You'll come back to your tent. Milamed shetelech v'temsa ohalecha b'shalom. And when you come home, you're going to find your tent is there. Meaning it's going to be in peace. So therefore you see what? The mitzvah protects a person even going home. The Gemara says, v'chi me'achar defilu b'chazara v'chazira b'alicha l'amali. Well, now the Gemara is asking a question. If you tell me that a guy's protected on the way home, so kol sheken on the way there. So what do I need a pasuk to tell me that what, nothing's going to happen v'lo yachmod ishet arzecha on the way there? I know already. On the way home he's protected. Come back home the other way. So he goes, "Dechad Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Ami, another chidush. Kol Adam sheyesh lo karka ole la regel, v'she'en lo karka en ole la regel." You're right. The pasuk v'lo yachmod ishet arzecha is not coming to tell you shiluchei mitzvah enam nezukim. I can learn that from the Kal Vachomer on the way back. So what is it coming and teach me? Another deen. Who's obligated to go up for the regel? Only people that are landowners. V'lo yachmod ishet arzecha. Only if you have karka in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to go up for the regel. But if you don't own land in Eretz Yisrael, you are partur from the regel. That's the opinion of Rabbi Ami. אמר רב אבין בר רב עדה, אמר רב יצחק, מפני מה אין פירות גינוסר בירושלים? Yerushalayim was the blessed city, obviously. It was the source of all berakah. So how come God did not put special perot called perot genosid in Yerushalayim? Perot genosid is in the Kinneret area. Very sweet, very delicious fruit, like we learned in Masechet, berachot. How come put it in Jerusalem? So the people of the Hal, they go up, they can enjoy it. That's exactly why. Kedesh shelo yu ole regalim omrim. We don't want the pilgrims that go up for the holiday to say, אלמלא לא עלינו אלא לאכול פירות גינוסר בירושלים, דיינו. So you know what? It was worth it if we didn't come up for anything else. But just to eat the פירות גינוסר, it was worth it. נמסית עלייה שלא לשמה. Now it comes out what? They're going to Jerusalem, now it comes out, שלא לשם שמיים. It comes out they did it for the פירות גינוסר. כיוצא בו, similarly, אמר רבי דוסתאי, ברבי ינאי, מפני מה אין חמי טבריה בירושלים? How come they didn't put the Tiberias hot springs in Jerusalem? Meaning, put some baths like that. Why not? It says, כדי שלא יהיו עולי רגלים אומרים, אלמלא לא עלינו אלא לחוס בחמי טבריה דיינו. God will come over and say, oh, you know what? It was worth it just to come to Jerusalem for the holiday, just to go to the hot springs. ונמסית עלייה שלא לשמה. That comes out, it's all going there, was for שלא לשם שמיים. Now comes the Gemara and continues. We said in the Mishnah, "Ubame amru bet shurot." If you remember the Mishnah said, "Kol makom she'im machnisim bo hametz," any place that they do not check or they don't prevalently put hametz, ein tzarik medika. So the Mishnah is, "Oh, ubame amru." What do you mean? But we said you have to check the two rows of the wine cellar. So who talked about the wine cellar? It's a very funny Mishnah. You didn't even tell me about the wine cellar. And now you tell me, ooh, Ubame Amru. Who's Amru? Who talked about the wine cellar? So the Gemara says, Martef Mandechar Sheveh. Who mentioned anything about a wine cellar? You're telling me, Ubame Amru. So it says, Haki Kamar. Kol makom shemachnisim bo hametz tzarich bedikah. And if you remember the Gemara, we just learned, what is the call coming to include? Tzarich bedikah. Ve'otzot yayin ve'otzot shemen. Name tzarich bedikah. You remember that we just learned the Gemara on Amud Rishon. When it says Kol Makom, what was the Kol Makom coming to include? That you don't have to check wine cellars, and you don't have to check Otsot Shemen. On that, the Gemara says, oh, you don't have to check? Ubame Amru. Oh, but what did we say? Shtei Shurot B'Martef? So the very wine was implied in the Mishnah. From the fact that it said the word Kol Makom, and the call is coming to include that you don't have to check the wine cellars. So wine cellars is implicit in the Mishnah. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, what do you mean? But we know you do have to check two rows. So it says, Makom shemaknisim bo hametz u'mistapek. So it must be talking about what? It's talking about a case, shemaknisim bo hametz. Like we said earlier, a wine cellar that's used, and therefore the Shemosh might go down and bring the wine during the meal. He might leave his bread down there. Therefore you have to check. So therefore, it is implicit in the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, we had a machloket in the Mishnah now, Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel, which two rows do you have to check? So what was Bet Shammai's lashon in the Mishnah? Bet Shammai said, Shtei Shurot, you check two rows, Al Peneh Kol HaMartef, across the entire cellar.
Two rows.
So what are these two rows? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shtei Shurot She'amru, the two rows that Bet Shammai said, Min Ha'aretz V'Ad Kora. It's from the ground all the way up. Which means, according to Bet Shammai, a row is not just an individual row. It's almost like a side. The whole area. Imagine you have, let's say, a cellar. Or you have your picture in the art school, which is very good. But you have barrels of wine stacked up. So you have four rows across, right? Three high. So according to Bet Shammai, he's learning, when we say a row, it's from the bottom row all the way to the top. That's considered, all those barrels, let's say, are considered shura achat. So it says, Bet Shurot, Shanu bin Ha'aris, V'ad Sheme Kora. Which means according to Bet Shammai, according to Rav Yehuda, it's two rows, the row in front, the hole, and the row behind it. Right? The first two rows going in. Right? One, two, in. Rabbi Yochanan Amano, Shura Achat Kemin Gam. It's one row
in the shape of a gam. Gam is like the letter chaf. It's a Greek letter. That's like a chaf, meaning it's the roll up to down facing the door, and then across on top. The top row, the whole entire row that's facing the whole way, facing the ceiling. Okay? So there's like a dalet, looks like. Very good. Dalet or a chaf. So therefore, you see again, you have a machloket, how to learn Bet Shammai. If you look in your art scroll, you can see now the two pictures. Okay, the first picture you see is, it's the two rows, one behind each other, and the second shita is kimin gam. It's first whole entire area facing the door, and then the top rows that are facing the ceiling. Okay? Again, Bet Shammai says, al penei kol amartef. So it's all the rows. Comes the Gemara and says, again, I read inside. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ashrei Sotcha Memunah Asvat Shem HaKorah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shura Achat Kemin Gam. Tanya Kevetet Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Kevetet Rabbi Yochanan. We have Braito to support both opinions. Tanya Kevetet Rabbi Yehuda. We have Braito to support Rabbi Yehuda. Bet Shammai Omrim, Shte Shurot Al Penei Kol Amartef, U Shte Shurot Sheamru Min Haaretz, Ve'Achat Shem HaKorah. Which means the two rows that we're talking about start from the ground all the way up to the top. That row and one behind it. Ground to the ceiling. Tanya kivatet Rabbi Yochanan shtei shurot al penei kol amartef. Chitzona ro'eh et hapetach. The outer row sees the door. Right? That's the one that is vertical facing the door. Eliona ro'eh et hakorah. And the Eliona, the top row over there, ro'eh et hakorah sees the ceiling. Right? That's going across. Shelefnim emena v'shelemata emena en tzarich bedika. Right, the rows that are in the second row, for example, according to Rabbi Yochanan, does not need bidika, anything lower than that also. So only the row in front, like a gam, and the row across on top. That's Bet Shammai. Now we discuss Bet Hillel. So Bet Hillel omrim shtei shurot achitzonot shena alyonot. What was Bet Hillel's language in the Mishnah? The outer rows that are the top rows. Chitzonot, shena alyonot. So we're machloket on this. Amarav, elyona v'shelemata hemena. Take the rows that are facing the door, the top row, and the row underneath it. Mm-hmm. So according to Bet, they just need two rows. Top row, and the row beneath it. Okay? Ushmuel amar, elyona v'shelefnim hemena. He says no. Shmuel says, it's the top row, and the row behind it. Not underneath it, but behind it. My Talmud de Rav, what's Rav's logic of taking the outer two top rows? Diyek hitzonot. Because his main diyuk in Bet Hillel's language is the word hitzonot. Because if you look at Bet Hillel's Lashon, it was what? Shteshrot hitzonot, which means the outer rows. Which means when you take the two rows, of according to this, it's the two outer rows. However, if you'd go, let's say, according to the other opinion, it's the in rows, so it's that would be considered not chitzon. According to Shmuel, it's the outer row, top row, and then one in. That's not chitzoniyot. So therefore, Rav says, no, I midayek the word chitzoniyot, and therefore it's the outer rows and the top two. So give me, what do you mean? But it says the word elyonot. Which according to him, the second row is not elyon. How do you do with that word? So the Gemara says, "Lemeute tatae de tacheta." Just coming to tell you to exclude the bottom rows, which means you need two rows. They have to be chitzonot. Oh, chitzonot, there's four rows down. Which two rows? The two outer rows that are the top. I mean the top two, as opposed to the third, fourth, etc. Good. Now, why would Rav Medayek the word chitzoniyot? Or chitzonot, because that's the first word. Chitzonot shena alyonot. So since the first word Bet Hillel uses is chitzonot, that is the main condition. Ushmuel amar elyona v'shelefnim hemena. V'shelefnim hemena. Shmuel says no, it's the top row and the one behind it. Maitama dayik elyonot. He's been the word elyon. He's according to Shmuel, it's top rows. They're all top rows. It's the top row and the top row behind it. What do you mean? But it says, it's on the outer rows. it's to exclude the third or fourth rows back, which means when it says chitzonot, it means the ones that are towards the outside, the two rows that are on top towards the outside, as opposed to going in top rows 3 and 4. Okay, so that's his chiddush. Good. Comes again and says, Rabbi Chiya Tani Kevate de Rav. So Rabbi Chiya had a braita to support the opinion of Rav, according to Beit Hillel, that it's the top two outer rows. V'chilehu Tanae Tanu Kevate de Shmuel. But all the other Tanaim, they brought braita out to support the opinion of Shmuel that says it's the top row and the row behind it. V'chilehu Kevate de Shmuel. Alaka follows Shmuel according to Beit Hillel, that it is the top row, which is the Elyon, and the row behind it, which is also the Elyon. Baruch Adonai Olam.